It is about rebuilding transatlantic partnership after a very difficult August with the exit from Afghanistan and the European reaction.
U.S. President Joe Biden heads to G20 Leaders Summit in Rome. It's Friday, October 29th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Amy Heibels in Washington. You'll also find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, Pakistan eases restrictions at Afghan border crossings. Russia warns Turkey after Ukraine drone strike. And Candyman movie remake tackles racial divide in U.S. It's all on today's VOA Asia. U.S. President Joe Biden will attend the G20 Leaders Summit in Rome before continuing to the United Nations Climate Change Conference, or COP26, in Glasgow, Scotland. VOA White House correspondent Patsy Wadaka-Suara, who will be traveling with the president, has this report on the key issues leaders will discuss.
Preparations are underway in Rome, where a G20 Leaders Summit will be held. With Chinese President Xi Jinping and Russian President Vladimir Putin not attending in person, an opportunity for U.S. President Joe Biden, said National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan earlier this week.
The U.S. and Europe will be there, and they'll be there energized and united at both the G20 and COP26, driving the agenda.
But it won't be easy. Biden must repair U.S. credibility following the messy military withdrawal from Afghanistan and rift with Paris over the AUKUS deal that scuttled a French submarine contract with Australia. Leslie Benjamori, director of the U.S. and the Americas program at Chatham House, via Skype.
It is about rebuilding the transatlantic partnership after a very difficult August with the exit from Afghanistan and the European reaction to that. But it is then about concrete issues. So climate, the global minimum corporate tax agreement, and then debt restructuring is really important.
Biden will emphasize his pledge to cut greenhouse gas emissions to about 50% below 2005 levels by 2030. But U.S. global leadership on the issue also depends on Biden's domestic climate agenda in his infrastructure and social spending bills currently struggling in Congress. Matthew Goodman, Senior Vice President for Economics at the Center for Strategic and International Studies, said via Skype.
The president, unfortunately, is not going to be in the same strong position he would have been to push other countries to make further, more ambitious commitments on climate.
Phasing out coal is a key contention, as is the pledge by rich nations to provide $100 billion a year in climate financing to help developing countries reduce emissions and mitigate the impacts of climate change. Chinese Vice Minister of Ecology and Environment, Ye Min.
In the context of the official implementation of the Paris Agreement, these issues will affect political mutual trust and the ability of developing countries to take climate-related actions.
On the pandemic front, humanitarian organizations say wealthy countries failed to fulfill pledges made at last year's G20 to ensure global vaccine access, instead hoarding hundreds of millions of doses for their own populations. Natalie Arnoux, head of regional advocacy at Médecins Sans Frontières Access Campaign via Skype.
What we would like to see is them to clearly set up a schedule to provide these doses to COVAX for the countries in a transparent way with a very clear timetable.
Biden, a devout Catholic, will meet with Pope Francis at the Vatican prior to the G20 and COP26. Patsy Wadaka-Suara, VOA News.
We invite you to read more on our top story by following our Twitter stream at VOA Asia. We're also on Facebook, VOA Asia, and the VOAnews.com website. These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on VOAnews.com. After Afghan withdrawal, U.S., Pakistan work to rebuild trust. Watchdog records 30 recent cases of violence, threats against Afghan journalists. India slams new Chinese land border law. Blinken orders review of U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan. China, Russia working together on security threats in Central Asia. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on Facebook at VOA Asia, Instagram, Twitter, and on the VOAnews.com website. VOA Asia continues. The UN Refugee Agency says it welcomes recent steps by Pakistan to ease restrictions at official border points with neighboring Afghanistan. The agency says this enables smoother movement of goods into troubled Afghanistan and keeps people from turning to human smugglers to cross the border. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva.
Afghanistan is a landlocked country and depends largely on cross-border trade for survival. Since the Taliban took control of the country in mid-August, Pakistan has tightened border controls. UN Refugee Agency spokesman Baba Baluch, speaking on Zoom from the Afghan capital Kabul, says the border disruptions have created many hardships. He says they have affected trade and regular population movements. In some cases, he says, the border restrictions may have acted as a barrier for people seeking safety.
Disruptions have left many Afghans, including women and children, and those needing urgent medical attention, stranded for weeks, especially at the Chaman-Spin border crossing between the two countries. This border has remained closed for the past 3 weeks now.
Baluch says the new steps will ease fears of people being pushed into the hands of human smugglers and traffickers with deadly consequences. He says so far, a predicted mass exodus of refugees from Afghanistan has not materialized. To date, he says only some 50,000 people have fled to Pakistan and Iran. He says the bigger problem remains the huge number of people displaced inside Afghanistan. This year, he notes, conflict has caused nearly 700,000 people to flee their homes, for a total of 3.5 million people uprooted within the country. He says the UNHCR is mainly focused on providing essential humanitarian assistance to displaced Afghans. He says his agency has provided tents, emergency shelter kits, food rations, and many other relief supplies this year to nearly 500,000 people.
UNHCR is also arranging further airlifts of humanitarian supplies into Afghanistan, in addition to the 3 flights that recently landed in Termiz, Uzbekistan. As we continue to scale up our humanitarian response, more resources are urgently needed ahead of the harsh winter.
The UNHCR is appealing for urgent international support to displaced Afghans living in dire conditions, both within and outside the country. A recent UN report finds more than half the Afghan population are suffering from acute hunger. It warns the looming harsh winter season will cut off access to many areas of the country where families desperately depend on humanitarian aid for survival. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Happening now in Asia, a decision on the bail application of American journalist Danny Fenster, jailed for the past 5 months in Myanmar, has been delayed because the judge broke his arm, the journalist's lawyer said on Wednesday. Fenster, who has been charged with incitement, was detained in May as he was about to board a flight to visit his family in the U.S. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, Russia is warning Turkey over arms sales to Ukraine after a Turkish-made drone attacked Russia-backed rebels in Ukraine. Dorian Jones reports for VOA from Istanbul.
A Kremlin spokesman has warned that Turkey's ongoing arms sales to Ukraine threaten to destabilize the region. The warning follows Kiev's release of a video Tuesday showing a Turkish-made drone used for the first time against Russian-backed separatists in eastern Ukraine. Independent defense analyst Ardar Mevlutoğlu says Kiev sees the Turkish drones as a potential game changer in its fight against separatists, which it has been battling since 2014.
A single armed drone equipped with a couple of bombs may destroy a whole air defense battery or a very expensive electronic warfare system or take out some armored vehicles, etc. So that asymmetry provides some capability for those armies that are facing significant threats, such as Ukraine.
Kiev has purchased several Turkish drones and this month announced an agreement to build more in Ukraine itself. A prospect that analyst Özgür Ünlü Hısaçıklı of the George Marshall Fund says will alarm Moscow. Turkish-made drones played a key role in Azerbaijan's victory last year against the Armenian army over the disputed Nagorno-Karabakh enclave.
The drones that Turkey provided to Azerbaijan were a decisive factor in the battle. and Russia knows this.
Turkey has also, according to analysts, successfully used its drones in Syria and Libya. Ankara is also seeking to cash in on the success of its drones, with reported sales to Ethiopia and Morocco now pending. But analyst Mevlut Oğlu warns the Ukrainian drone sales pose a significant risk to Turkey.
Turkey has good relations with Russia, especially in energy sector. Russia is building a nuclear power plant in Turkey, and we have cooperation with Russia in Syria. So Turkey has good relations with Moscow. On the other hand, we have very good relations with Ukraine, as evident in the defense sector. In the event of a conflict between Ukraine and Russia, Turkey would find herself in an extremely difficult situation.
But some observers suggest Ankara could see its drone sales to Ukraine as powerful leverage over Moscow in a number of regional disputes that are going on between the two. Dorian Jones, VOA News, Istanbul.
And now for some movie news. Candyman, the latest film by Jordan Peele and Nia DaCosta, a black female director whose star is continuing to rise with higher profile projects, is a remake of the 1992 original by Bernard Rose. The reimagined Candyman addresses the racial divide, gentrification, and police brutality in the U.S. city of Chicago. VOA's Penelope Pulu has more.
In Candyman 2021, screenwriter Jordan Peele and director Nia DaCosta pay tribute to Bernard Rose's 1992 Candyman, which takes place in Chicago's notorious housing project, Cabrini Green. The movie tells the story of a black man accused of handing out candy with razor blades to kids, gets arrested, tortured, and killed.
Right there on the spot. A couple weeks later, more razor blades and more candy. He'd been innocent.
So he's real?
Candyman ain't a he. Candyman's the whole damn hive.
Candyman, he's a concept. He's a story. He's a boogeyman. It's an epidemic of violence on black bodies in this country.
He's real.
Candyman is how we deal with the fact that these things happened. That they're still happening.
Jordan Peele says as a young teen, he was influenced by Bernard Rose's Candyman as the first black lead antagonist in the horror genre.
It felt very daring, and it felt very cathartic, and it was terrifying.
Now, almost 30 years later, Peele's Candyman unfolds in the neighborhood where Cabrini Green used to be.
Cabrini Green has been torn down and is fairly gentrified now. And the story that felt resonated to me now is the story of my fear of the white space.
His story views commercialization and gentrification as a threat to black culture. Anthony McCoy, the main character in Peele's and DaCosta's Candyman, is a promising black artist working in a predominantly white industry and grappling with identity issues. He finds inspiration in the Candyman lore and unwittingly summons the monster which starts a new murderous spree. Only this time, Candyman targets his victims based on race, says Northwestern University's Associate Diversity Provost Robin Means Coleman.
There's absolutely no question that this film, Candyman 2021, is speaking back against the kinds of violence that we're seeing in targeting black people. When there is a disrespect, an abuse, a disregard for the value of blackness, that's when you see Candyman show up.
Director Nia DaCosta, who grew up near Cabrini Green, says evoking Candyman's name five times before a mirror is also a symbolic act of not forgetting black lives lost to violence and police brutality.
Say the name of the person, say Breonna Taylor, say Jacob Blake, because a martyr is a powerful symbol. If the name isn't remembered, then the name, the person, the life that was lost, that's the most important thing.
Penelope Pulu, VOA News, Washington.
You have been listening to VOA Asia. Be sure to like us on Facebook, VOA Asia. Follow us on Twitter at VOA Asia. You can also find us on Instagram and YouTube and at voanews.com. Thank you for joining us, and thanks to our service chief, Diane Gao. Our VOA Asia team includes Keith Lane, Chris Cascao, Jessica Stone, and Jim Stevenson. I'm Amy Heibels in Washington. Now go and make it a great day.